Hey, it's your boy TBC on the Jokes and Jocks podcast with my co-host
G. Hey Wiley, your favorite Blasian.
Oh yeah, and I got a special guest with me with us this evening, this afternoon, this beautiful, lovely 4th of July weekend. My new teammate, my new partner in crime, the OG 00007, Steve Pierce.
Yeah. I'm here in the house, ready to get funny with y'all. Let's have some fun.
Let's go. Where you at in the world, man? Tell everybody in the crowd what year you played in the NFL. Back in the 1300s, 1500s?
Hey, helmets wasn't even invented back then. But it's funny that you say that because it was so, you know, I'm in the mid. There's so many people that played before me, so they calling me old. When you get my age, they're going to call you old, and they're going to say, you play with leather helmets, too. What? For real. I have a brother that played in the NFL. He played for 14 years, and he actually 14 years older than me. And so they didn't even play with leather helmets. So, you know. But I played in 87, 88 with the Cleveland Browns. I was a wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns.
So. Yes, sir. And then out of what college, again, did you go to?
The University of Illinois, baby. Fighting Illini. Right.
Nice.
What made me go there? They threw the ball back in. I was a wide receiver, and they threw the ball, so I had to go wherever they threw the ball. So that's how I ended up there. It was cold, but, you know, I enjoyed it.
You was that guy.
Steve, where are you originally from? Because you mentioned cold. It says here San Diego, right?
Yes, born and raised in San Diego. I got a little place in La Jolla. I live right on the beach now.
I love it.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up in San Diego? Because obviously you live in La Jolla right now, which is beautiful. I love La Jolla. But where'd you grow up?
San Diego, East San Diego. We where the water is good. They said we have four Heisman trophies within a 4-block radius. So we have, and I went to school with. I mean, you went to my high school. Terrell Davis went to my high school. Marcus Allen, what's your boy name? Ricky Williams. What's the other guy? Rasheed Rashard, him also. So we got four Heismans right in that little area, you know.
I went to Lincoln High School.
Lincoln High School, that's right.
That's what Dwayne Wright, our choir member, went there too, right?
He went there too. Oh yeah, we got Dwayne. Some talent coming out of there. We got talent coming out of Lincoln. Yeah.
Y'all got some ridiculous VIPs, man.
Yes. So, what's happening in your guys' neck of the woods? Where are you located?
I'll let Tully go first.
Yeah, I'm out here on the East Coast, man, in sunny, beautiful Newport, Rhode Island. Just hanging out here for the day. I got a buddy who hooked me up at the this place called the Newport Bay Hotel. It's right on the water. This guy I met at an autograph signing, Kev, hooked me up. Told me I took him up on it. He said, "Hey, man." So shout out to the Newport Bay Hotel. This is a nice. You ever want to come up here for a weekend? That, tell them I sent you.
That's what's up. I'm always down for a trip, baby.
Yeah, Rhode Island is beautiful during this time of the year too. Sorry to interrupt you, Steve. Where I am 2 hours away from Steve. I am in beautiful Hermosa Beach, California. This is my home. I grew up in the South Bay, so I grew up in Manhattan Beach. When you were playing for the Cleveland, when you were playing up in Cleveland. So, yeah.
Yeah. You know what's crazy is that I haven't been back. They keep sending me letters. I got one email today. They invite me back for a big pro day or whatever. But it was an old looking town back then. The stadium was raggedy. You know, they have a new facility now, but I just haven't been back. I don't know why, but I don't know. I'll make it back one of these days. Maybe if Tully talked me into going. So.
Yeah, man. I know you used to play with Jim Brown, right? We got to get a little reunion with you.
Boy. Jim Brown about 40 years older than me, man. Come on, man. You killing me. You know, I get that in the choir, in the NFL players choir all the time, how old I am. it's but it's crazy though that there's we're like the age limit is like 24, maybe 24 to 45 or 42. And then there's me. I'm going on 60, man. I'm a year and a half away from 60, bruh. So I'm the old dude in the crew. So I can take them old jokes. I love the old jokes. They keep them coming.
Hey, as my mom would say, honey, you still young. You still young. My mom is a ripe 74. So you are still young. You are still a kid, according to my mother. So
exactly. I am. And I love it because I figure if they ain't talking about you, you ain't doing that. You know,
absolutely.
I like them talking about me. Keep me in your mouth. Keep me in your mouth.
Hey, you know, it's I know you was in the 87. Who was on that 87 roster on Cleveland?
I had Bernie Kosar was my quarterback. I had Webster Slaughter was a receiver. Bobby Brennan was a receiver. I'm bad at names. Mac, I was on the 87 team when he fumbled on the 1 yard line, and Denver came back the drive and they scored. We would have went to the Super Bowl that year, but Miner fumbled on the 1 yard line. That's who actually fumbled, and we didn't go to the Super Bowl. So you know, that was my years right there. So it was a good old days, man. I mean, man, I had a wonderful
What's Cleveland
time.
Like, man? The dog pound and all that. What's that all about?
Man, it was off the chain back in the day. See, you got to remember, I played with the original Cleveland Browns. A few years after I left, they moved to Baltimore, became the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay.
So I'm more of a Baltimore Raven now. I have to get my stuff from the Baltimore people, not from Cleveland. So.
Right.
Sorry. Yeah, so it's different. People always ask me about Cleveland. I'm like, well, I'm actually Baltimore.
Baltimore. Okay.
Baltimore.
That's what's up, man. So now you got this podcast we was just talking about. I know we're gonna get into the AG stuff, AGT stuff.
Right.
But I you just told me about this podcast you got. I want to hear a little bit more about that.
Yeah, man. I decided probably about 3 years ago to become the doctor of love, because what happens is men and women, we see life different. I'm talking about it's like way different from anything. You know, if I tell you I love you, a woman gonna think, okay, he's in love with me. He want to have kids. He want to get married. He want to do this. He want to get that house with the picket fence. I just said, I love you, baby. That's all. I didn't mean, you know. So I'm trying to bridge the gap between men and women, our conversations and our relationships, because there's so many women and so many men that's single. And it shouldn't be that way. You know, how many people you get asking you to, man, won't you hook me up with one of your guys? Won't you hook me up with one of your girls? Why aren't y'all together? It's our conversations that we have. We're so far apart. So the doctor of love is, I bring other NFL players on with me, and women and men get answers from a man's perspective. You know, usually women always calling their girlfriends and getting advice from them. Women don't know nothing about men. You know what I'm saying? They don't know anything about men. So I decided to come up with this podcast so you can hear it from a man's perspective. You know, so we try to give it, it's a great show. We try to give it straight from the heart, off the sleeve. We just, you know, cuff and we just shoot it straight to them.
I like
you know it is what it is.
I like it. And so you actually you gonna have people on like maybe even make some connections on the show with somebody say, hey,
you know,
I'm
what?
Single, I'm 25, 20, 35, 45.
You know what? Exactly. So yeah, I'm talking about doing that right now. The show's been going on for a couple of years. It's networks trying to pick it up right now. But in between, like every first of the month, I decided to do, see, I'm older, so you ain't gonna remember. You guys remember the dating game?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I was gonna bring the dating game back within the Doctor of Love, and then hook one female up with three guys and let them ask questions, and you know, and then whichever one she picked, we'll pay for a date for them to go on. And then they'll come back at the end of the next month and talk about how their date went. So if it didn't go well, then we'll go back and see which ones we picked for. And if it's not the one we picked, then we'll send her out on another date with the one we picked, we thought's best for her. So we're going to bring that back also within the show. So it's going to be a fun thing. It's fun and funny. You know what I'm saying? It is funny. And you get a lot of good advice from men and women, you know, because they're women to come on the show and we debate. We talk about, you know what I'm saying? But then that's why the man's perspective is you. Women, you think you know what we're thinking about, or you think what we're saying. We're not saying what you think we're saying. So it all comes down to relationships and conversation. That's it.
Okay. You spreading that wisdom. You about to be the next Kevin Samuels, man.
He's hard. He's a hard one. A lot of stuff he says is true, but he is too hard. He says it without a heart, you know? You know what I'm saying? You can't go around bashing women, you know, without a heart. You gotta have a heart, have some type of heart, you know. It's like he's one-sided. He was always one-sided, you know. God rest his soul. But yeah, you gotta, man, nobody wanna take advice really from somebody that is that hard, because any female and any male can get along in a great relationship. You can't tell somebody, well, how tall are you? How short are you? How much do you weigh? How many kids do you have? Oh, no, you want a man that's with no kids? Hey, we want what we want across the board. We want what we want. And anybody can get along with anybody. You know what I'm saying? I can meet a female with 10 to 15 kids. And if I fall in love, then I'm falling in love with her and her kids. So you can't tell her she ain't good enough for somebody like me. Let the individual decide, you know? So if we all knew everything, then shit, this would be a perfect world, right?
That's true. That's true, man. But 15 kids? Come on, man. Good Lord.
But see, the thing is, I love kids.
Does that exist anymore?
Yeah, no, they don't. We don't. People don't have
kids. You don't see that, you know? Two or three.
And that's it, yeah. Most people I know only have one. Yeah, but back in the days, they used to have, you know, I come from a family of seven. I have four sisters and two brothers. So, yeah, we're trying to make it do what it do, baby. Trying to make it do what it do.
I heard that, man. All right, so the Doctor of Love coming soon.
Doctor of Love, yep. So I'm inviting you on the show tomorrow, so you better be there.
I'm going to
send you an invite. But you ain't send me no pictures of you, man. What's up, man?
All right, let me check my old Tinder profile, see if I got any pictures of when I, you know, when I was
back when you played. It doesn't matter any pictures to do. I just want to put a face, you know, because their people just want to see athletes on here. And they want to get, yeah, that's all.
I'll send you some pics, man. We're going to get this show popping. I definitely love to be a guest on the show, man.
It's going to be popping. And you're hilarious, though, man. You're hilarious. You're one of my favorites, you know, because you don't take no crap from me. None. None. I love it. I love it. Love it.
Hey, Steve, you can throw some jabs, man. I tell you that. You can throw some jabs.
I keep it moving, man. I try to keep it fun. Because you know, we got so many egos.
Right.
Different guys got egos. So if you don't notice what I'm doing, and I'm talking about singing, and if you got a group of 10, 14 guys, I'm the person that if you're not getting your note right or whatever, and they're working with you a little bit too long, I'll tell a joke just to get their mind off of them working, because you know pressure's bust pipes, but
it's true.
Pressure bust pipes. So I'll tell a joke and get the people not paying attention to the person who's messing up until they get their note. You know, I'll give them a break, and then then we'll get back on track. So whenever you hear me tell a joke or do a funny, it's just getting people's mind
right in the mood. Yeah.
Getting it back in the mood and letting people know that this is a fun thing. This is not just, you know, it's not just business. It's business, but you got to have fun. I always tell people about like playing football and people who win championships, and you know, you done win a couple Super Bowls. You know, the teams that win championships are always having the most fun. Mm. You know what I'm saying? The people who are losing, you always see them being mad. You know what I'm saying? So you can't win no championship not having fun. You know what I'm saying? Joking and doing what you do. You guys got to get along as a team. So that's what I try to bring. Let's get along as a team and let's have fun and let's do this. So that's what I bring to the table.
That's what it's all about, man. No, yeah, when I joined the choir, man, you was the first dude that was like, you know, this cat got jokes. Okay. No. I just met everybody. You already on me. Tough.
Already. Already, man. I'm on everybody. I got to welcome. You know, that's how you welcome people, you know? I've had people come to the choir, and it's like, man, nobody ever even talked to me, man. Whenever I walk in the room, they're like, man, I love it coming in because you come up to me, you mess with me, you talk to me. And usually I would come sit down and say nothing because nobody's saying anything, but you're the only one to come up to me and make me feel at home. That's me, man. I'm Big Mama. You know, I'm Big Mama's at Big Mama's house. I'm making everybody feel welcome at home and at ease. You know what I'm saying? I'm the icebreaker. That's me.
Steven, for all of those that didn't watch you guys on America's Got Talent, how did the choir start? How did you get involved in this choir? Like, this is a phenomenal thing for all y'all to do. How did you start this, or did you start this? Did somebody else start this? I don't know, like, the beginning organic phases of this, or the beginning stages of this choir. So how did y'all get the choir going and choir started and your involvement?
Can I tell my story or can I tell the true story? Because they're kind of close to the thing, but from what I tell is different from what really happened.
I say give us both.
Okay, I'm gonna tell you my story. Okay, Melanie Few, she is the creator of Super Bowl Gospel. And she had a concert a few times, maybe 6-7 times before we got there. So now I'm gonna go into my story. It happened like this, but it's not exact. You know, some of the names has changed to protect the innocence, but you know. But what happened was, I'm gonna go, it wasn't BB and CC Winin', but it was something like BB and CC Winin', and we were shooting live, and one of them flight, I think it was in Dallas or something, Arizona, the flight got canceled or got delayed and they couldn't make it. So we had to fill out TV time. So they like raise their hand, they say, any.
Oh, we lost you.
NFL. Then they said, can you stand up? So we all stood up and they still try to waste time. They said, you guys come to the stage.
Uh-oh.
Why are you guys here? It's like, well, we love gospel music. We love this kind of music and we also sing. So they start telling us to sing. So we start singing and they're like, oh my goodness, we're going to start. Petty Bell said, well, oh, you guys should start an NFL. Players start to choir together, and so that's how I got started. The following year in Arizona, we put notes out and said, yo, anybody who can sing got to be in the choir. So we all showed up and we started doing there. That was like 15-20 years ago. So it's bringing us opening up other doors and opportunities, so some of us can sing.
And then how long
some
you
of
been,
us just came
how long you been
I've
singing?
Been from day one. It's probably like 17, 18 years that I've been in the choir, but I've been singing from day. I'm the one to hit them high notes. Back in the days, I was like in love with like Minnie Riperton. And man, I used to hit them all them high notes. I can't hit them high notes like that anymore, but I still had that range. I'm so still
you
around
was
that
practicing,
range.
That was on the radio back when you was coming up.
Yeah, it was on the radio. So
they don't sing like that anymore.
No, man, music is not what it used to be, you know? It's not what it used to be. It has no, these days, it has no imagination. You know what I'm saying? Back in the days, they used to tell them what they wanted to think about doing to you. These days, they tell us, they get straight butt naked and ready to go. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, ain't no foreplay in new music today. Ain't no foreplay that gets, you know, I'm like, yeah. I want to bump and grind and, you know, come on, man.
Yeah. And even
not like it used to be.
We won't talk about that guy bump and grind. But yeah. to the swing.
And with the gift of auto-tune too, man, like there's no, like, you don't even need to know how to sing for some people to be able to be stars out there.
Yeah. Wait a minute. On my way. I'm dropping off my jet skis and this guy. Okay, sorry, go ahead, say it again.
No, I said, and with the gift of auto-tune now, you know, you don't even need to, you know, you don't even need to know how to sing.
No, you don't. But you know what, I'm gonna just tell the truth. folks with auto-tune don't make you sound good. It does not make you sound good. It you know, it covers up some stuff, but it doesn't make you sound good. And there are sequences that you can, if you hit a bad note on a computer, you can bring the note up. But when you sing it live, it ain't gonna do nothing for you. Nothing. Because everybody didn't think, people didn't think, what's your boy who created all the tune? He started doing it first. I can't T-Pain. Think of his name. Huh? T-Pain. They didn't think he could sing. Man, that brother starts singing live right there. And it's like, see, the dude can sing. It ain't all the tune. Yeah. He can sing. You got to still be able to hold a note.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like when I bust out some Brian McKnight, let me see if I can give you a little bit. So when y'all think athletes can't sing, then you got another thing coming. We'll go wrong.
There was a couple of parts that could have used a little auto-tune in the middle. But
it could have. But all that do is make it sound just a little bit better. Not all.
It was
all.
Everything else was great, bro. That was beautiful. That was lovely, man.
So
hit them notes.
I ain't even warmed up yet. You know what I'm saying? So usually you got to warm up to, you know, do something. But I thought I'd give you a little something.
Appreciate,
you know what
that, man. Nah, yeah. You can sing, man. You definitely one of our best singers in the choir.
Man, I just try to hold my note. You know, that's it. I'm just trying to hold my note so we can sound good together. You know, because it's a team. You know, you only just like football. You're only as good as the person next to you. You know what I'm saying? We all got to help each other out. That's it. I believe in team. One team, one voice. Is that on what's the Drumline? One sound, one team, one voice, one sound.
One sound, one band. One band, one sound. One sound, one band. Yeah, I actually was in the, I don't know if you know this about me, Tully. I actually played the flute. So I was in band. Yeah, I was in the marching band. I was in the concert band. I was in the jazz band. Yeah, I. So one sound, one band. It's very true. It's very, very true, because you can't like have all the notes everywhere, all the melody and, you know, the beat. Yeah, it all has to be in one.
In a band, too, because like Steve said, you know, you're as good as the person next to you. So even if you may even miss a note, it could blend in with the band and what everybody else is doing. You know, sometimes you don't hear little, even with bands or orchestras, you don't hear little mistakes because the entirety of the group is what sometimes it might even help to a little bit of effect, like, oh, you know, give it a different type of tone.
Right.
Because, you know, I know I ain't always in key. So that's the beauty for me singing with a choir. I could just blend in where everybody else
is. Right. Yeah. I always got to be on, bro, because I'm usually the only one hitting the high note. And I'm like, yo.
That's true.
Like when we were in Dallas, we were in Dallas, we singing 12 hours a day. I'm like, yo, I can't keep hitting this note all day. My voice gonna be gone by the end of the, you know, my voice, when I woke up Wednesday morning, when we had to sing with the symphony, my voice was gone, man. All air was coming out. And they were like, oh, we got to get this dude some hot water, some lemon and everything. Cause I'm really the only one hit the high note. So OJ also hits it, but OJ, he's always on the road doing something and he's going through the head concussion thing right now. So, you know, and that's another thing. I'm like, man, this is good for me because it'll help my head concussion case out. Because when I lead, a lot of reasons I don't lead is because, like, so number one is because I sing the high note. If I come off that high note, ain't nobody else gonna hit it. But then the other one is, man, I be forgetting words, bro. That concussion is real, man, for real. Oh, yeah. If you ever notice, you go see it. I write the beginning of every song. The beginning of every line on my fingers. I'll be reading my fingers when I'll be singing sometimes, bro. It's funny.
Wow.
For real, because I can't remember the name of no songs or the words to any songs. I'm like, God dang. Think about it. Songs you used to sing when you was little, if you Google them and go to YouTube or whatever and sing it with the words, you're like, dang, they saying that? I didn't know they were saying that word. You know? So all the songs I grew up singing, I was always singing the wrong words, bro. All the wrong words. But you got to think about it. They all have meanings in their songs. That's why I like music. It tells stories.
Yeah.
Music tells stories, man. And even when I'm in a relationship or whatever, I'll sing to somebody and I'll give them, I'll say, this is how I feel. And I just sing the song. You know what I'm saying? This song is saying exactly how I feel about you. You know what I'm saying? So music is the, man, music for me is the key. It's exactly my first love. I love singing more than I love football.
Yeah.
Man, that is beautiful.
When I was in the University of Illinois, I sang in the choir. I sang in the choir, and I hung out with all things. I didn't hang out with the football players. I just hung out with the choir, and because I love singing. You know, see, singing you could do by yourself, anywhere at any time. Football, you got to be with a whole bunch of people. So,
right.
I don't know, but I love it though. Is that me going out? Some pictures popped off.
Now you good? So. You got any R&B albums we can look for from the mid-90s? You know, was you part of that whole, you know, Silk and Shy and, you know, After Seven and BBD and who else was it? New Edition. They don't really got no boy bands anymore, you know, like the artists singing like that. You don't really see that many artists getting down like that.
I'm here. Can you
hear me? Yes, yes. Okay, you are mute, baby.
But yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was talking about, you know, you got any R&B song, any R&B albums we don't know about?
Nah. You know what? Actually, it's crazy that I used to write for Saint Lunatics, Nelly crew. I used to write songs. I mean, the hooks for them. They sent me a whole bunch of songs to write hooks for, which I did. But my writing style is, they know I'm from California, Southern California. My writing style, I write R&B. So when I was writing, it was like sounding like kind of R. Kelly style or whatever. And they said, no, we want a gangster rap. It was gangster rap. I'm saying, man, I ain't no gangster rapper. So I don't really write hooks for gangster rappers. So I probably did 23 songs for them. And I don't think none of them made it, but it was fun. It was fun working with them. So I had a great time. And I'm on a guy out of the Bay Area, San Francisco area, name is San Quinn. I'm on a couple of
hits. That's my dog.
You know San Quinn?
Yeah, I know Quinn. Shout out to Quinn, man.
Okay, man. You know Quinn. That's my guy, man. I call him my son. I wish I call everybody my son. I mean, he came to stay with me to record some stuff, and he was in concert in San Diego, and he was, you know, sleeping on my couch, and I'm upstairs, and I come downstairs because, like I said, I'm a music dude. He's listening to music. I got him 3 tracks from this dude named Steve Vicious. And while he's listening to him, he was rapping, and I'm peeking my head around the corner. He said, what's up, Pops? What's up, Pops? What you got? I said, man, I got a hook. I got a hook for you, dog. You know, I'm trying to get on anybody's record. You know, I got on that dude's rap record. So I'm on, I'm singing the background for Pimps and Hustlers. So
I wrote the hook for Pimps and Hustlers. Can you give us a little sample?
It goes, this is for the pimps and the hustlers. This is for my homies in the hood. These are for my down-ass niggas and those that's misunderstood. And then it just repeats itself. So
yeah,
he gave me a shout out. He gave me a shout out on it. He said he got Pierce on the hook. When he said Pierce on the hook, that's me. So
hey,
yes,
yeah, that's great.
That's what's up, man. You know I'm a Bay Area guy too, man. So you know I was slapping that.
Man, I didn't know you was the Bay Area.
I'm from the Bay, man, all day, born and raised.
Okay, okay. I got my roommate. I had a roommate. He used to live in San Mateo, California. Yep. It's up there in the Bay Area. Yeah. Yay area. Y'all That's don't know nothing name. About that. I used to come up there to E-40's, actually his manager's, their party. They used to have a big party every year, man. I used to come up there, man. It was bananas, man. I used to love going up there. I'm like, this party off the chain.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, you shot.
And I ain't even really a partier. Well, say that.
You don't party, huh?
Man, I ain't a partier. I've never really clubbed. I really never drank. You know, if somebody come in town, I might go out with them and, you know, whatever. But I've never drank. I'm what, 58 years old? I never had a drink in my life. I never had a smoke in my life. I never did medicine. Only time I take medicine is like if I have surgery. I take medicine for 2 days and then I quit it. And I just, you know, I deal with the pain. But I'm like, I ain't getting addicted to nothing. That's my thing. I ain't letting nothing addict me. Only one thing I'm addicted to. and you can imagine that. You know, I don't know what kind of show this is, but you know,
okay.
To the beautiful ladies.
It's always something, right? It's always one.
It's always something. We always got a vice. Somebody, you just something about you. Everyone has a vice. So, but I try to set out to be a good guy. So, which I everybody's always called me a good guy. So, I guess I'll take that.
Yeah, man, you're a good guy for sure. Definitely, OG Pierce.
OG in the house, all the way from Dago, baby, all the way from Dago, and I can't wait to see you again, bro. Because we got something in the works coming up. I won't say it on here because I don't know. You know, we're under contract with America's Got Talent, so I don't know what we can say and what we can, and because for the longest we was on before you came, we were on with BET, so it's certain things we couldn't say because BET was airing it and all that. So these contracts get kind of funny, you know. So I don't want to say nothing on your show and get you in trouble or me in trouble.
Yeah, right. No, yeah, we got protocols. Yeah. We got protocols. But it's good, you know, you can still sing a couple, you know, some of your old tracks here and there. I think that's all good. You
right. I said,
what other shows you have you performed? I know obviously
we did like the BET. We do big, big corporation shows like Red Cross. They'll fly us out for their big gala and we'll perform there. Shoot, it's like 5-6 different. And we perform like once or about two times a year. We've been doing it for the longest. It's just been like 7 of us, you know, to go and travel and do the recordings and all that kind of stuff. So we've been doing it for years. We know each other's voice, but, you know, we're trying to get more serious into it. Since you guys came, it's a whole different ball game now that you guys are here. You guys knew me. So, but, you know, I'm having fun with y'all, but, you know, sometimes so you guys don't know the history of the choir yet. So it takes a minute to, you know, to understand. So we kind
of
I'm
one of the new guys, you know, but I'm definitely getting different, you know, stories of how it all started. I know Melanie is pretty much the root of it. And the different guys came together. You were there in the early days. So it's took a long time to get to this point. I know.
Man, a long
time. Y'all been grinding and, you know, putting this thing together.
Grinding all my life. Yep.
I heard that.
That's what it's about. We grinding and grinding. We've been doing it. So, you know, hard work pays off. You know what I'm saying? You never give up. You know, because just think, man, I'm 58, about to be 59. And, you know, like I said, this is my number one love is singing. And look, at this age, I could do this. I could sing in front of, you know, the biggest crowd out there. What America's Got Talent has the biggest show ever. And we're about to perform on that. And I'm 58, bro. I never did nothing like that. And, you know, ever playing football, baseball, whatever.
Right.
This is a big opportunity just to be seen, you know, and it's great for my kids, you know, watching me.
Yeah.
You know, they looking at me like, Dad, don't never give up. Dad never gives up. He just tries to go out and have fun and do what he do. So I'm teaching them a lesson all the time. You know, I have an adopted son. I got him in 3 days old. He's 10 now. So I always got to keep in my mind if he sees me giving up, then he's going to give up. So I got to even go harder now, you know, at the age of 60, because back in my days, when you turn 50, when I was young, when you're 50 was like old grandma, you know, you had the cane walking around. I'm like, man, I'm still pimping and I'm on 60. You know, I'm still young, bro. I feel like I'm still like 25 for real, you know, and all you brothers is keeping me young and it's a beautiful thing. And I love it. I love it, bro. Like we went to that one night, we went to karaoke and just started acting a fool.
Yeah.
I love that, man. I love it. You was on the mic blowing, bro. You had the crowd going wild. Now we're talking about putting that song in the playlist so we could, you know, when we go perform, you know, we're ready to sing at any time. And that's what it's about, you know.
What was the song?
It was what was the song you were singing?
Oh, the Rick James.
I took a verse. I took a Rick James. I'm Rick James. Yeah, it was Rick James. That's right.
I love it.
Give it to me, baby. Yeah, man, that was a good night, yeah. Man. Y'all was singing that the just who sings that? Just My Imagination.
Yeah, me and Mike.
Yeah.
I used to sing that in our choir at University of Illinois. We had a group, about six of us. We used to harmonize on that song. I love that song. So we're going to put that in our repertoire, you know, and whenever we go out, we got songs, you know, to sing, to perform, because it's all about us. If we go out there and have fun and show energy, bro, we football players. They don't expect a lot. But then when they hear that we can really sing, man, they be like, wow, they can really sing. They go crazy, bro. They go crazy.
And just the gospel, you know, just being able to sing in the gospel, like I'm getting a whole new outlook and experience of how I didn't realize how big of a scene the gospel scene was. I mean, I'm listening to all these new songs I never heard before. I didn't realize the genre was really had so much, you know, so much cool new stuff coming out. And the fact that we're kind of in that, you've already been doing the gospel, but I'm getting kind of put on to a whole nother genre that I mean, I've done some choir stuff. I've been to church, you know, I've definitely listened to the music, but I mean, I was blown away with all the songs that everybody knew, all the new songs that I didn't know. It was just wow.
Well, that's the thing about me, man. All these new songs, man, you got to learn them. Oh my God. I don't like learning new songs, bro. That's why I'm like, yo, if we're going to sing a song, send me that thing like 3-4 months before so I can listen to it every day. And, you know, it's hard. It's the hardest thing to me is trying to learn a song and sing your note. Like, if I don't know the words, I really ain't going to get my note, you know, because I'm kind of mumbling. I'm just mumbling the words, really, you know. So I'm doing that. You guys didn't notice, but I be doing that all the time. I'm mumbling the words because I'm trying to get my note other than the words, you know. So
did you guys ever think of singing? Is this one of my all-time favorite, like, doo-wop songs? Do you ever think of singing I Only Have Eyes by the Flamingos? It's a beautiful song.
Is that only have eyes for you? Okay, yeah.
It's my favorite.
Yeah, that is a tight song, but shoot, that's a lot of high notes.
I feel like if anybody can sing it, that you motivated me, because I was like, I feel like if anybody can sing it, Steven, it's you.
Yeah, I can sing just about anything, and like I said, I love singing, man. And I don't scare. The thing about me, I am not scared to mess up. I'm not scared. I used to be real shy to speak in front of everybody because I'm just a shy dude. But you know what? If you think about it, I start thinking about it. I sing better than 99% of the people in the world. So the people who listen to me, they can't sing a lick. So they're going to think I sound good. It's only that 1% that really can sing. And they're going to say, oh, okay, he missed that note. But most people don't even know you missed the note, because they don't have that ear. You know what I'm saying? They don't have an ear, especially when you're singing in a group. So you can kind of hide back there a little bit. But like I said, we've done events where it was just five or six of us singing, and we had to hit our notes. So it is a few songs that we know, like they say sing, and we're on harmony right away. We already know that song. So that's where we are.
I heard that.
And do you do any singing?
No, my God, no. I leave it to you guys. I can make a mirror crack. No, I'm good. No.
I always tell people, it ain't how you sound. It's putting the effort into it. I love people who sing it. I said, I can't sing. I said, just sing from the heart. You sing from the heart. I mean, you can't mess up. There's no messing up if you sing it from the heart and really feel in the meaning of the words that you're singing, you know?
That's what the shower's for, man, you know?
but why would you have friends that's going to critique you? You know what I'm saying? Be that's around true. People that could critique you. You know what I'm saying?
My dad taught me that. He was like that, man. My dad was all the time. Whenever we was in the car, he would just belt out singing and say, okay, son, hit this note or hit this, you know, give me this melody real quick. And, we'll sing doom, 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 doom. He'll teach me the word. All right, we're going to put this together. And he was like, no matter where he was not ashamed, just like you. He had no shame in belting out some.
None, man. None. Vocals. Man.
So.
Can't. You know what I'm saying? Go from the heart, and that's what it is.
That's what it's about. It's definitely what it's about. That's what's up, man. So tell me a little bit about the Steve Pierce Foundation. I looked that up. I saw you got that going on. What's that about?
Man, Steve, see, things a lot of people don't know is what we do individually. We've been doing things as a group, and that's what most people do. But I have a foundation. I created a foundation years ago. My mom and dad instilled in me to help others. Back in the days when I was like 5 or 6, I used to go with my mom. She used to work the voting polls. So you meet everybody in the neighborhood. When it comes to the voting poll, everybody comes out there. So at a young age, probably got 7, this lady across the street from me, she used to do Christmas giveaways, right? And back in the days, back in my days, you know, they used to give away oranges and apples and nuts, you know, maybe a toy here, but that was the big thing. So when I used to get that, I used to be so happy, man. So happy, man. And I said, when I get big, I'm going to do that. I want to do this because I see everybody around here. So they're smiling. Their parents are smiling. They're getting toys and stuff. So I created the Stephen Pierce Foundation. And where for Christmas, I service over 7,000 families. I try to give every kid a bike for exercise and every kid a tablet for school. And then I give them a few toys in between. And man, it's a beautiful thing, man. I've been doing it for like 20 years, man. Now I have a partner. She does a big thing, too. So I let her actually do all the work right now. And I just bring in the athletes and bring in whatever. So I may have to fly you in and come give some toys away to the kids. And I love it, man. It's lovely seeing people smile. And my speech to the kids is like, when I get these toys away, I let them know these toys aren't for you. Mm. I'm giving you these toys because there's kids out there that you really, really know that needs them. So I'm giving you these toys so you can give these toys to the kids that really need them. So it's all about giving. And I always tell them Christmas in life is actually all about giving. And you'll be surprised. The more you give, the more you will receive. You can give your last and you will receive more. And I'm a believer in that. I am a true believer. Sometimes I don't know how I come up with something. I'm like, dang, I didn't even pay for it. I got 2 boats sitting in my driveway and, you know, jet skis. I'm like, and I got them for free, bro. You know, so I just keep giving, give. And, you know, I open up my garage. I got 6 motorcycles, you know? So, I mean, I know people who take. But it ain't about taking. It's about helping others out. And that's what I do. I help those who can't help themselves. And that's what I love doing.
Hey, man, that's beautiful, man. That's you're a real one, man. I got to come to that event. That's in Diego, right?
Yep. It's in Diego, man. It is Diego. I'll get you out here.
That's what it's about, man. Making an impact while we're here on this planet. Right?
Right.
That's what we're here for. All right. Well, hey. You know, we get into that time of the show. You know, we shout out your foundation, man. Check out the Steve Pierce Foundation. Check out the Doctor of Love.
Doctor of Love.
My boys bringing the love and the wisdom to all those in need. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes, sir. Beautiful.
And I'm going to hit you with the rundown before we get out of here. G, you got anything else before we get into it?
No, I can't wait for his rundown questions. I'm excited. But after the pod, I want to find out your pod because I've been trying to look it up. So you got to tell me how to get it once we get off pod.
Stephen.
Right.
Pierce. Pierce. I got so many friends. I got to figure out a way that I can sign more people up. I think I might have to do a fan page because you only give you 5,000 limit. So I need to do so. I don't know how to. I'm not technology friendly. You know, I just do it. But once it gets to going, it's going to be everybody going to be able to get to it.
Right. Okay. We're going to keep on the lookout for that, man. That sounds
fine. Well, you're going to be on tomorrow. Actually, both of y'all should be coming on tomorrow.
Okay.
Come on. It's from 7 my time, 7 to 8. It's only an hour.
Let's go. And let's go.
It's easier than this.
Let's do it.
It's a lot of people talking. It's a lot of people. It's a few people talking. I usually have 4 or 5 people on there. And, you know, you just butt in when you butt in.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And I mean, it's just a conversation like right now.
Yeah.
You know, just us in the room. That's it.
I love it.
All right, yeah. I'm on, bro. Well, I'll see you tomorrow then.
All right, tomorrow. Am I off right now? All right, thank y'all for having me.
All right, hold on. Let me hit you with the rundown before I get you out of here.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what the rundown was. I didn't know if it was
here or what. I'm going to ask you some questions. Ask you a few questions, followed by the moment of truth.
Yeah. All right?
And everybody's questions are different. But the first question I always ask is, would you rather be a bird or a fish?
I would rather be a bird.
It's okay. You know, we got two fishes. That's good enough for me. Everybody always wants to be a bird, man. So it's cool.
Yeah, I like to soar, but I like to be able to fly, you know, look down on earth and just float in that. You ever get so hot that a cool breeze just blows? You know, I just always thought I could fly anyway. So, you know, for real.
Okay.
Next question.
All right, next question. Would you rather live, or would you rather have the best house in a bad neighborhood or the worst house in a good neighborhood?
Worst house in a good neighborhood.
How about, would you rather have nosy neighbors, since we're talking about houses, or noisy neighbors?
Nosy.
You need to be able to sleep at night.
I mean, wouldn't you be able to, you still want to be able to sleep at night if they were nosy? Right?
I can sleep at, yeah, nosy. I like nosy. I don't like nosy, but I'll do nosy. I can't do noisy.
Okay.
As soon as you go over there and tell them to keep it down, that's when they get ignorant. And, you know, some folks, I'm a competitor. You don't get ignorant with a competitor. Yeah. You know, because it gets violent. It may get violent. So I'd rather be nosy, you know, have a nosy neighbor.
All right.
And nosy people will protect you too, though. That's the thing. You know, once they get to know you, they'll protect you. They watch out for your things, your possessions and all that stuff.
Ah, okay. Where's the wisdom? Steve Pierce. All right, a couple more questions. Would you rather sing a song in front of a bunch of strangers or a bunch of some of your closest friends, closest people?
In front of strangers. Strangers all day. Your friends, they critique you. They critique you to the fullest. And then a lot of them just be hating because you can sing. Oh, that nigga missed that note right there. Oh, you know what I'm saying? You know, a stranger's going to make you feel good no matter what. You know, they go, oh, you sound really good. You know, at least play the part. Fake it. Fake it till you make it. You know what I'm saying? Lie to me. You know what I'm saying? Please lie to me.
So. Okay. All right, a couple more questions. And I know you say you're 58 years old, 57?
I'll be 59 December 12th.
Oh, yeah, it's going down. All right, yes, so at your age, and I know you've been all over the world, if you could travel, just say, the United States and visit and go to different places all around the country, would you rather go in a plane or in an RV?
RV. I can stop and smell the coffee. You know, there's so many hidden jewels within this, within the United States. And I don't know all of them, but I like stopping. I like driving, stopping, and seeing the beauty of what we have. You know, when you're on a plane, it's just like everything is fast, you know, but I get to see everything drop by driving.
I love it. You're right. You are absolutely right. There's so many things to see in just our country that nobody's ever seen. And there are people that are from here that haven't even seen all of America. So I 100% agree with you on that one. Europe's nice, but man, America. I mean, we're coming up on, even though it's not our holiday, but like we're coming up on the 4th of July, you know, and everybody should experience this country, whether they like it or not.
It's a beautiful country, but you know,
it is.
I mean, anything's beautiful in your heart. If you have the right heart and a right mindset, everything is beautiful. I take negative and turn it into positive. You got to see the positive in what comes out of negative. You know what I'm saying? You got to bring it out. You know, you always got to know that tomorrow or the next minute is going to be better than the one before. And you got to believe it. You can't just think it. You got to believe it. Because I know tomorrow's going to be better than today, and I'm having a good day. So, you know what I'm saying? So you always got to be positive. You'll never really see me negative.
I love it. More people should be like that, Steven.
Yeah, I love people, man. I love the world. I love living. So, yeah.
I love it, man. Well, hey, I'm going to hit you with the moment of truth. And by the way, I think any age you go and travel the world, you can do that any age. You ain't got to be 57, 58 years old. If you're 20, yeah. 30, 40, 50, I think at any age, 10 years old, it's a lot better to go on road trips than
right
there, you know?
Right.
So, but yeah, man. So here's the moment of truth. If you could perform at any stadium in the world, and you get to bring along two or three of your favorite artists of all time, who's on that flyer with you? And what stadium? What venue?
Man, I don't know what venue. I haven't been to a lot of venues. Perform at Yankee Stadium. Well, actually, I've been there. Yankee Stadium. Let me see who.
And I mean, like venue, like any time in the world. Like, this could be Woodstock.
Oh,
this could be Bonnaroo.
Oh,
this could be Coachella.
Okay, I got you.
Any the biggest, the Super Bowl. You know, you got you the headline. You get to bring a cast of folks with you.
Palm Springs is hot. Who would I bring with me? Would be. Let me see. Got to be Brian McKnight. I got to have Brian. You know what I'm saying? Can I bring somebody dead?
Yeah.
Sure. Let's resurrect them.
Hey, Whitney Houston.
Mm.
Brian McKnight, Whitney Houston, and
who's the last like one?
Whispers. Ooh, yeah, Whispers. The Whispers. Because I grew up on the Whispers, so you know.
Oh, the Whispers.
And Marvin Gaye.
Mm.
Yeah. So I grew up on, you know. I don't know. So Whispers always been my favorite group, but there's so many groups out there that's just nice. I love Jagged Edge. People slept on Jagged Edge. Man, it's just there's a lot of people we perform with that's just awesome. What's the guy who did Chicago 85? Chicago 85. Dave Hollister. That dude is sick with it if you really listen to that. Dave Hollister is bad. Anthony Hamilton.
Ooh, he's
good. Oh my goodness. He performed with us like 3 years in a row. See, it's a lot of folks you don't know we perform with. We perform with Fantasia. You know what I'm saying? Donnie McClurkin, you know, BBCC Winin. You name it across the gospel board. We perform with them. They come with us and we sing background. Because when they come to perform, they bring us from backstage.
Yeah.
And we perform with them too. A lot of times, so it's fun, but man, I don't know. I can't name just three. I've named three, but man, it's so many. You know, like I said, lyrics mean everything to me. You know, because sometimes when you sit back and then a song come on, that those lyrics in that song will put you right back to when you first heard it. You know what I'm saying? It's like every song, a lot of songs I've been hearing lately, it take me back to college. I said, man, we used to rock this in college. There's a lot of white songs. But it's all good because I love music. And I was like, this song takes me to born in the USA, takes me to college, you know,
right.
All these songs. So I'm a music man. I love music. Just don't know the name of those songs. So,
well, that's what's so great about music and sports. It's like the one unifier. It's like when you're great and it's a great song or you're a great player, it translates. It goes across the board. Like it doesn't matter if you're white, purple, blue, you know, everybody's going to appreciate, talent.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. So you got any more questions? You got any questions for me? Tully asking all these questions. You got a question?
No. That's Tully Sham. I will ask you one question because you said this in the beginning. It's kind of been not bothering me, but I'm just wondering, what does it mean when you tell a girl I love you? You said in the very beginning of this episode.
The thing is, every situation, every individual is different. So if I tell you that I love you, don't put in your mind, don't make it up in your mind how I love you. Ask me. ask me, what do you mean? What kind of love is it? Is it agape love? Is it unconditional love? Is it, we have to have that conversation so we both can understand what kind of love is it? Is it sisterly love? If it's best friend love, we have to know that. So that's why we must conversate. Don't assume, and men, we can't assume that you understand what we're saying when I love you. You know right. what I'm saying? We have to break it down. Okay, what kind of love are you talking about? So are we going somewhere from this, or what kind of love? Make me understand it.
Right.
Because anybody can take anything, you know, we all take things different, yep. you know?
Right.
So we gotta always sit down and conversate.
You gotta say, be what absolutely. You mean that word love, man. You gotta be careful.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. In everywhere. In
it's
everywhere.
Powerful.
Everywhere. Yeah, everywhere. Because you think about it, in today's words mean so many different things in so many different sentences. You know what I'm saying? So you can use one word 50 different ways, you know? You done seen it. What up, my nigga? My nigga. You know what I'm saying? It just means different things, you know, just words. We just gotta understand that we don't know understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. And when we don't, we need to ask. Yes. We need to sit down and have that conversation, you know. And life comes down to that conversation and getting along, you know what I'm saying? Because you don't want to never assume that this is what he means or this is what she means by what she just said. Let's get an understanding. Let's get a better understanding. Because one thing you don't want to do is lead somebody down a wrong path. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, okay. Now he's only dating me. It's just me and, you know, we're a couple because he told me he loves me. But he's not thinking that. You know, he's just saying he loves you because you're a cool person. You cool, you fun to hang out with, and he enjoy being with you. You know, it can mean that, but you got to ask. So what is this love word mean? What does it mean to you? How are you saying it to me?
Right. I mean, I think that there are things that I could go off on that just because, like, honesty is great and everything like that. But sometimes you'll get guys and you'll get men or boys or whatever you want to call them that are going to not have that same response. Right. Like, you know, let me tell you what that love means. Like when that guy says that, they just automatically, like, it's kind of like you said, both ends, right? The guy needs to explain what his definition of that love means, and the girl needs to explain that definition as well. And unfortunately, that's where the communication needs to come in, and it doesn't always happen that way. So, I mean, you're a diamond in the rough, man.
Yeah, I try, man. I just try to be knowledgeable because, you know, it happens. If you don't know what something means, ask what it means. Because I was in interviews before, and people say some, you know, I ain't from the best school in the world, but they asked some words I didn't understand. I was like, what the hell does that mean?
Right.
Before I start answering it. Okay, what does that mean? I ask it in a different way. Ask it a different way because I don't want to say something and it's totally wrong, you know, making me look bad. So I prefer to be wrong right away. Okay, what do you mean by that? Ask me in a different way than to go in the whole conversation and I'm looking all ignorant and, you know, ignorant.
Did that come with age? That curiosity, well, or is that like always in you?
It's always been in me, but when I got older, I just started asking. In mid-age, I started asking. If y'all don't know something, you better ask. You know what I'm saying? It's like me being married. The first thing I let female knows, because we have that instinct that, okay, she likes me. She's trying to holler at me. So my first thing is when I see a woman checking me out, and I know they about to ask a question. As soon as they walk up to me, ooh, I'm like, my wife has a sweater just like that. That's a beautiful sweater. And then I keep the conversation going. That way they know I'm married. You know what I'm saying?
That's smart.
Yeah. That way, because, you know, you let them know. Let them know. And, you know, you're going to do what you want to do after that. So correct yourself at the beginning. Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Hey.
The doctor of love.
Come on.
A little spit
come
a little on. Knowledge, man.
In that game.
Spit a little knowledge.
All right. Yeah. Hey. It's refreshing, you know, to hear these words, you know,
man.
Because a lot of people do have communication issues nowadays and all kinds of, you know,
right.
insecurities and looking for love in all the wrong places, right? So, yeah, man, what you're doing is awesome, man. I'm glad we got to meet. I'm glad we about to accomplish coming up.
Yep.
And I'll see you tomorrow on Dr.
See me
Love.
Tomorrow. And we want to make sure people get out to vote, too, because we will be they need to call in and vote once we're on America's Got Talent. So it's going to a voting system now.
Yes.
So tell all your people to call in and vote for us.
Call in, vote, watch the show.
Exactly.
You know, see us through. See us through.
All righty.
All right, man. Well, appreciate
thank
you
for coming
on.
And I'll see you tomorrow. Y'all be good.
All right. That's it, man. Appreciate it. You be good, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Later.
Peace out. Should I hit 'em? Should I split 'em? Should I get 'em? You should just finish roll with 'em. Then I sit 'em down. Get up now. Click it. Get 'em.